Radio Atomic. These days, everything seems to be speeding up. Our music, our lives, the number of things we're reading, watching, listening to simultaneously. But what if we could flick a switch and make everything spin a little slower?
Mister, your eyes are full of hesitation.
Today, we flick that switch. Sure, it might be on a record player, but what can simply listening slower tell us about the complex world we live in? We also continue our series about the stories behind the classifieds. Today's addendum, a slow and steady tale of lasting love.
I wanna keep my reputation.
This is the Radiotonic Podcast. I'm Jesse Cox. Stay tuned.
I'm a sensation.
Steve Urquhart is a radio producer, audio designer and musician. So you could say he's used to working with sound. And if something doesn't sound quite right, he'll generally try to fix it. But that's not what happened when Steve heard something on the radio that didn't sound right but captivated him nonetheless. This accidental discovery introduced him to an entire new world of slowing down, leaning in and listening carefully.
I was at home one night, maybe about 6 months ago, in the kitchen, washing the dishes. I always have the radio on when I'm washing up. It can take me ages because I keep stopping to change channel. Turn off the tap, dry my hands, find something more interesting to listen to, get bored, do it all again. But washing up is boring, so I need something to keep my brain occupied.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, this particular night, I switched on NTS, which is like an experimental station in London, and it plays anything and everything. But what I heard was properly unusual, even for them. I was like, it's Crowded House, but they're playing it at the wrong speed. It's too slow.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup.
Maybe they'll change it to the right speed?
There's a battle ahead.
They're not gonna change it.
Many battles are lost, but you never see the end.
Maybe it's me, maybe my brain slowed down. Or speeded up.
Head now, don't dream it's over.
It didn't change it. It kept playing. And I left the dishes and I listened. And I thought, this sounds brilliant. It's beautiful. It's not perfect. His voice sounds a bit weird. But the music, the drums, the bass, the guitar, especially the guitar intro. It's almost magical. I think because it's a song I know, I must have heard it hundreds of times over the years. I don't particularly like it, I don't particularly dislike it, but I was hearing it in a whole new way. I was noticing things I hadn't noticed before. The congas, the hi-hat. I don't know why, but that slowed down Crowded House song stuck with me. And after a few days, I remembered another thing I'd heard, maybe about a year before.
Dolly Parton, Jolene at 33 RPM. Yes, there it is. Was popular. Quite a few people have put it on here. Tom Berry has uploaded this one. How many views? 1.5 million. And look at all these comments. It sounds like Neil Young, but with a deep voice. Strange, but very cool. Sounds like Tracy Chapman. Better than the original. The best thing on the internet.
tracked down Tom Berry and I'm on my way to see him. I don't really know anything about him other than he put a slow version of Jolene on YouTube and now he's inviting me into his home. Well, I've invited myself, really.
Behind me is about, to 5 shelves worth of vinyl, lots of albums, quite a lot of singles.
Roughly how many would you say?
About 5,000, I would guess, somewhere in that region. I tried to get my niece to catalogue them and she was quite up for it until she actually started and one afternoon took her up to about A. There are quite a few there, more than I know about and more than I'll ever play, I guess. Many of them I'll never play.
So let's take... Tell me what you've got in your hand there.
So I've got the 7-inch of Jolene, 1974, on RCA. It's a lovely orange colour, very underrated colour. One of the reasons why I love it. I shall play it.
So this is Jolene at 45.
This is Jolene at 45. Let's hope I've actually lined it up correctly.
How long have you had this particular single for?
Oh gosh, 30 years? I'm not entirely sure. I must have played it 50, 60, 100 times. It's one of those ones that comes out quite regularly. Yeah. It's a beautiful record. But it's almost too fast.
So, you know what we're coming to.
Yeah.
When did you first play it at 33 and a third?
I first played in 33 and a third in 1994. And I remember it very well because a friend of mine, Andy Butler, he told me that as a kid, I'm just changing that over now to 33. One of the things he and his brothers found that if you play Jolene at the wrong speed, he said it sounds a little bit like early Bruce Springsteen, which I'm not sure it sounds exactly like early Bruce Springsteen, but it does sound particularly good. So let me play that now. Here we go.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene,
why do I like it? I like it because it's even more haunting in certain ways. I mean, the male style of the voice, it's still Dolly Parton singing, it's still exactly the same record we were playing before, but slowing it down it makes it slightly more melancholy, and it's actually a very melancholy song. It's almost as if, you know, I when I first posted this on YouTube, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, it didn't do very much, no one was very interested, and suddenly a few people started seeing it. And then people around the world started sharing it because they were really excited and really interested to hear it at this speed. And Dolly Parton herself even tweeted me to say that she actually sounded better as a man than she did as a woman. And for me, that was like the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Apart from obviously having my kids and marrying my wife, but you know what I mean.
Tom and I are the same sort of age. He's 38, I'm 39. So we grew up with very similar music. And so we end up spending a large, probably a bit too large, chunk of the afternoon getting slightly competitive about what works at a slower speed and what doesn't work. We agree on some things, like with the Bee Gees, Barry's voice definitely turns out better than his brother's voices.
Curtis Mayfield. I mean, there's just a small amount of Curtis Mayfield in there for me with Barry's voice.
And anything by ABBA is surprisingly disappointing.
I deny them, the lights are low.
I've got my Crowded House example, although I don't think Tom's convinced by it.
So why did it captivate you? I mean, I think the guitar's fantastic.
The guitar at the start, and I think the middle bit with the organ.
Yeah.
You know, when we come to the middle bit, it sounds like the start of White the Shade of Pale.
Yeah, because if you listen to Where Did Your Love Go by the Supremes slow down, it's pretty good. It sounds like it could be The Temptations or something like that. But the saxophone in the middle is just brilliant.
It's absolutely just sort of nails it. It sounds like a big baritone sax when it's probably a tenor saxophone playing, and it's just absolutely on the money.
Tom's kind of floored me there with the Supremes, so I need to come back with something big. I've been saving this one.
So, Cyndi Lauper, girls, I just want to have fun. Let's give it a
be
go.
Be honest. Don't humour me.
I will be honest.
I'm sure you will.
He's smiling.
Could be Tears for Fears.
He knows it's Cyndi.
It does sound like Tears for Fears.
But already his mind is wandering.
Or Howard Jones. She sounds remarkably like Howard Jones. It does work. It does work. We're not the fortunate ones, and
girls, they wanna have fun. Cyndi Lauper might well work, but what have we done to this record?
It's almost like a man who's sat in the corner, right? He's trying to be happy. He's in a pub, he's in a club, he's watching all the girls dancing and having fun, but the poor old guy can't get a dance. You know, I think that's what's happening here. It's basically me when I was about 16 years old.
And now, look at us. Two grown men on a weekday afternoon going through records and listening to some of the hundreds of 45s slowed down to 33 that are on the internet. This should be depressing, melancholy, as Tom said, but what a peculiar pleasure it is. I really want to know what some of my friends think about it, so I go and ask a couple of them, Dermot and Carrie.
Carly Simon, you're so busy.
Who hopefully know me well enough to go with it.
Talk like that. Does it mean that voice is a horrible voice? It is really creepy.
Loser. It sounds really pissed off.
Beck always sounded pissed off.
It sounds even more pissed off in this song.
Ah, Frankie Valli.
What are you going to pick?
Ronnie. Frankie Valli. No, that doesn't work.
It's no use. We all agree, nothing beats Dolly. In fact, remember how some people said Jolene at the original speed isn't as good as slowed down? Let's try the normal version again.
Too fast, it is. I think it's because my brain has slowed down in the last 10 years.
I knew you would get this.
I think that younger people really like fast music.
Yeah.
Some people do anyway.
And exactly.
Then, and as you get older, you think, wow, oh, that sounds way too fast. And I think it's because our metabolism slows down. Our brain slows down.
Yes! That's exactly it.
Brilliant. I did have a theory that it might be an age thing, and Dermot jumped in there before I could even say it. He and Carrie and I are all roughly the same age, as is Tom. So, how can I prove this theory?
It's going very slow and everything's really low.
That's one of my nephews. He's 10. The other one's 8. And I'm playing them a slowed down song that's a bit more from their era.
It's slow.
What does his voice sound like?
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
Who does it sound like?
It sounds like Santa Claus, but like, even older.
No, it sounds like drunk Santa Claus.
Yeah, drunk. It's drunk Santa Claus singing.
Well, there's the proof. Alright, it doesn't really prove anything. Maybe I should take the results of my unscientific test to someone a bit more, well, sciencey.
I'm David Rooney, and I'm the curator of time at the Science Museum in London. I think it would certainly be reasonable to conclude that there was an age-related aspect to this. However, I would need a lot of convincing that that was by any means the only reason or the overriding reason. I'd find it hard to believe that it's as simple as we like slower things when we get older.
I had a feeling it might be a bit more complicated. So what do you think is going on then?
Well, there's a standard story about the Industrial Revolution and industrial societies, which is that life speeded up for people when they moved from rural areas to cities and towns. And it's easy to believe that life's always speeding up and it's getting out of control. But as we move to post-industrial societies, we're seeing people challenge that fatalistic assumption that we have to submit to the clock. And there are movements of people actively slowing down parts of their lives as a counter, as a balance to the speeding up elsewhere. It might have started with the slow food movement maybe 25 years ago, where people chose to counter against fast food and say, no, I want to take 2 hours to have my lunch, and I want the ingredients to be locally sourced and carefully produced, and I want to take my time. And that's what this is. They're starting to choose to slow life down, parts of their life, and playing music slowly seems to fit so well into that. I think this is quite serious. Slow Jolene is wonderful to listen to, but I actually think it's reflecting something really significant in societal shift. People are choosing to slow down.
Part of me totally gets this, and it is just like switching the turntable from 45 to 33. Limit the number of revolutions per minute, per day, per year, per lifetime, and those revolutions might be more satisfying, more successful, more enjoyable. But hang on, I'm very nearly 40. I'm now closer to the age of 45 than 33, and there's loads I still want to do. Why would I choose to do things slower? If anything, I should be speeding up. Time's running out. And then I listen back to Slow Jolene, and it makes sense. David's already turned 40. He understands.
The focus and the clarity that this slow version of it brings, you're listening to it completely fresh, and you hear in every note and every heartbeat. I don't know, I just think it's remarkable. Jolene, Jolene, I could listen to it any number of times, and each time I would get something new out of it. I'm begging of you, please don't
take my man. How the music is constructed, you hear more.
Definitely.
When it's slowed down, you kind of hear how it's obviously quite complicated. Mm. And if it sounds that complex when it's slowed down, it must be. Please don't take him
just because you can. There's a feeling of kind of opening the music up and seeing if there's, like, almost seeing in between the gaps. But almost like taking a magnifying glass, you know, and kind of looking at it a bit closer. It does seem like I'm seeing more.
There's my metaphor. It's kind of like opening up life and looking between the gaps. Come on, you'd be disappointed if I hadn't found a metaphor in this. And I'd have been disappointed if I hadn't found another song that... Okay, it's not Jolene, but it's not bad.
Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie by Baccarat. And the music's working. This is a little bit too porn, doesn't it?
It's turned it into something quite different.
The heavy breathing, it's a bit too porn. Just a little bit too sexy. But I like it. It'd be good if you were making a film, though.
What kind of a film?
No, like, if you were doing, like, some sort of, like, a film set in the 80s, this would be a good one, like a cheesy gay film. This would totally work. Mister, your eyes are full of hesitation. She makes me wonder if you know what you're looking for. I wanna keep my reputation. I'm a sensation. You try me once, you beg for more.
I need a sort of
Steve Urquhart, who, in the last few days, has happily celebrated his 40th birthday. What song would you like to hear slowed down? Or maybe you've already tested some favourite 45s at 33 RPM. Tell us all about it online, abc.net.au/rn/radiotonic. And if by now you've caught the 45s at 33 bug, download our sister program Soundproof for a remixed version of this story. You can hear Life at 33 right now by following links from our website. This is Radio Tonic, at the correct speed, with me, Jesse Cox. Recently, we launched a new series, Addendum, Stories Behind the Classifieds. And while the format for posting and searching classifieds has evolved from the back pages of the newspapers to the front pages of the internet, our obsession with selling, buying and seeking is as strong as ever. Today we bring you episode 2. Journalist Fiona Harari has been trawling the online ads looking for stories and struck gold with this tale of old love and lasting curiosity.
Addendum. Stories behind the classifieds. Wanted. Looking for my teenage sweetheart. I'm still trying to locate my teenage sweetheart, Faye Rose Begbie, brackets Moffat. Faye was a hairdresser in Des Moines, Sydney in the 50s and early 60s and was married in 1959. I've tried many avenues to locate her, but due to the stupid privacy rules, I cannot get any information on her whereabouts. I last saw Faye on TV around 1992 in a news item about childcare centres. I think she may have remarried. However, I do not know her current surname. If anyone can help out with any information, I would be truly grateful.
He did but see her passing by. She was short, dark hair, nice figure. Just what Gary Volkas had always wanted as a young man. It was 1957, and while the rest of Sydney was busy learning about plans for the city's new opera house, 17-year-old Gary's mind was in Des Moines, where he was employed at a refrigeration business on Victoria Road. She worked at her mother's hairdressing salon across the street. "I used to see her every day walking across the road and fell madly in love," says Gary, who was smitten before he'd even exchanged a word with her. Her name was Faye. She was also 17, a quiet young woman who liked tennis, but he would only find that out later, after he passed her on the street one day and summoned the courage to say hi. That single word led to more hellos, and eventually they stopped and chatted. He asked her out. Soon they were going steady. For Gary, it was a beautiful introduction to love. They were both young and shy, and their time together, though wildly passionate in his mind, was lame by today's standards. Picnics with her family, or a night out at the drive-in with her parents sitting in the front seat. Sometimes she'd come over to Gary's place and help him clean his beloved old Austin car. A year into their courtship, Gary was called away for a month with the Army Reserve. As he set off for that long break, their relationship, he says, was hunky-dory. And when he finally got back to Sydney, he was so excited to see her that he blew his first paycheck on a bracelet for Faye. But when he stopped by to deliver his gift, she broke some unexpected news. She'd met someone else while he was away, a bloke that she and Gary both knew from tennis. "It was," says Gary, "all over Red Rover. But silly fool I was, I gave her the bracelet. I was devastated because she was the one." And then she was gone. By 1959, just 2 years after Gary had been brave enough to talk to her on Victoria Road, Faye was married to another man. Gary was heartbroken. He had no serious girlfriends for a while, but he did eventually marry and married again and now has two adult children. In 1959, the same year he last saw Faye, he joined the police service and stayed for 30 years. He built a successful life and created new memories with other people. But over the years, Faye resurfaced. Once, during the 1980s, when computers were fairly new to the police service and access to them was not so restricted, he looked up her licence details on a whim and saw that she'd changed her surname. There were no contact details attached, but he wrote down her new name, just in case. Then he spotted her on TV in the early 90s during a news item about childcare in Sydney. He recognised her immediately. She looked good. Then a few years ago, in his early 70s and well into retirement, he started dreaming about her. He tried to find her this time, but by now he'd lost that piece of paper that contained her new name, which he'd long forgotten. All these years on, he has no idea who she is or what has become of Faye. And despite all his years with the police service, technology and privacy laws have made it harder to find her. In the end, he could only think of placing a classified ad. The few responses he received, though, were cruel hoaxes. Strange voices on the other end of the phone pretending to be his long-lost first love. And an unknown caller who woke him one day at 1 a.m. and accused him of having indecent reasons for seeking her out. In fact, he has no thoughts of romance. He's very happily married. But as time turns into decades, curiosity is catching up with Gary. She was my first love, the one you remember most. I just want to know what happened to her and if she's still around.
Addendum. Stories behind the classifieds.
Fiona Harari. And with a bit of help from her, Gary has managed to narrow down his search. He thinks he might have found the name of Faye's second husband and has placed another ad to find her. But he's still waiting for answers. The sound engineer was Mark Don. If you missed episode 1 of Addendum, the story of a vintage radio and its seller Keith, look for a link to the series page down the right-hand side of our website, abc.net.au/rn/radiotonic. That's our program for this week. You can tweet us at rn_CAU. Radiotonic is brought to you by RN's creative audio unit, the letters CAU, and the sound of... I'm Jesse Cox. Slowing down. Join me next time on the Radiotonic podcast.
We think and talk a lot about how we light our rooms and homes, but what do our urban centres look like at night? Leni Schwending is a New Yorker. She's running a research project and night tours to get to the bottom of nighttime design and luminous cities. Plus travel, botany and birds, reviews, artificial sweeteners, and much, much more. The ever-illuminating Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams.
Listen anytime at RN Online.